Okay, we're going to continue over in Galatians 6. And Paul's been showing how the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, are to be applied towards one another, towards ourselves, towards the Lord's ministry. And in verse 6, where we left off, Paul says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." And we looked at God's plan for giving and for the support of the church in some detail. Paul continues in verse 7 and applies a more general principle that we see throughout Scripture, applies it specifically here, but it has general application as well, and really to all things. Paul in verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Be not deceived, Paul says, and applied to particular circumstances. Here, it would those who might seek an excuse or some way to avoid their responsibilities and their duties. Don't be fooled. Some think that perhaps my circumstance is such that these things don't apply to me. Well, God said it. I think it applies to you. Some people think that giving doesn't apply to them for some reason. I've heard it all, and you've probably heard more. Some folks are too old. Some folks are too young. Some folks are too rich. Some folks are too poor. Some folks are too indebted. And you can go on and on and on. The excuses we find not to do what God tells us to do. Paul says, don't be deceived. You know, that's not going to all pan out. That doesn't all come out in the wash. Some folks think, well, other folks are better suited than me. They can do more. They can afford more. They have more. And you can apply it to other things. You know, that person's got more talent. That person's got better looks. They can do those things that I can't. God's called us all to do those things. And Paul says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. And that warning is common throughout Scripture. Be not deceived. Boy, that applies to the day in which we live in so many areas. Don't be deceived. If you watch the television and you watch the evening news, their main purpose is to deceive you. Politicians, their main purpose is to deceive you. And be not deceived, Paul says, and that applies first and mainly to self. You know, it comes back on you. Some folks, well, I couldn't help myself. They fooled me. Be not deceived. Don't you be deceived. 1 Corinthians, Paul says to the saints in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, let no man deceive himself. You know, we think what we want to think. We believe what we want to believe. Paul says, let no man deceive himself. That's one of the greatest deceptions you face. Even with all the television and all the false teaching and all. Let no man deceive himself. If any man, back in Corinthians, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. You know, usually we deceive ourselves by thinking we know so much. We know that more than everybody else. Maybe we even know a little bit more than God. I mean, it says that, but let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. I think more and more as we grow in our Christian lives, we realize more and more what we don't know and how much we don't know and how ignorant we are. Paul says, let a man become a fool. He's not talking about acting foolishly. But he's talking about realizing who you are and what you are. Let him become a fool that he may be wise. It's only when we realize how little bit we know that we can start to learn more. That we become cognizant of what God has said. Again, we see this, be not deceived, throughout Scripture. Another case in 1 Corinthians 15, that same book, down in verse 33, Paul says, be not deceived. And obviously, I didn't pull out every place in Scripture this appears. It's something that goes on and on throughout Scripture. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I'm not just talking about how you talk. That communication speaks of your way of life, and in particular, of how you associate. Evil companions, evil associates, corrupt good manners. Don't think, well, I can associate with this, I can go there, I can do that. That's not going to affect me, you know, because, well, I'm so wise. Because I know so much. I said, don't be deceived. Evil communications. Evil associates. Corrupt good manners. And again, I think more and more the television is, I'm about ready to throw a thing out the window. I don't watch much of it anyway. I fall asleep while it's on. But, you know, they want to brainwash you. You see, just these little game shows and stuff, they got all these perverts on there. And they want you to think, oh, well, that's normal. That's natural. You know what? No, it's not! It's not. And in particular, when we think about applying that to our kids. My kids grew up without a television. Got one so I could watch the news when somebody blows up or something happens. Well, I don't need to know that. I got the internet now. That's even worse. Beware. Just beware. Guard yourself. Be not deceived. Evil communications. That stuff comes in there, it's going to have an effect. It's going to change you. I've been fortunate to this. I'm so hard-headed that I often just act contrary. I'm a contrarian. But God made me that way. And I'm glad He did. And sometimes it's used to evil and to the flesh, and I know that. I've got to be careful about that. But God, we're supposed to question those things. We're not supposed to be deceived. We're not supposed to believe everything that Fauci says, or Biden, or Trump. We're not supposed to believe that junk. Be not deceived. Evil communications. Yes, folks we associate with, the things we hear, the things we speak, the things we watch, corrupt good manners. The Apostle James, who was called an apostle later, actually he was the brother, the half-brother of the Lord. The Apostle James, that was with the Lord, was killed shortly after the Lord's ministry. But James, who was pastor of the church at Jerusalem, the half-brother of the Lord. Mary was his mother. Joseph was his father. James, in his epistle, writes this in James 1 and verse 22, be ye doers of the word. Again, it's not that hard. We make it hard. We like to make it hard. Be ye, do what it says. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Oh, I read my Bible. I listen to these preachers. But what do you do? And when I talk to you all, I'm talking to me as much or more than anybody else. But what do you do? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And if you're only a hearer, what does James say at the end of that verse? But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Somehow you think that commends you to God, that puts you in a good place because you're a hearer. Some people think that, you know, they just got to go to the right church and everything's going to be okay. It's important to go to the right church. But no, you've got to listen to those things. You've got to hear those things. You've got to do those things. Folks search all around. And that's not wrong either. But don't think that accomplishes anything in and of itself. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be ye doers of the word, James says, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And I'll apply that to some other things as we go on. You know who we deceive? Us. Do you think I deceive my wife about how spiritual I am? Yeah, I don't think so. Generally, you don't fool others. Some people get away with it for a while. Do you think we fool God? Well, Paul's going to say in the next phrase we'll look out, he says, God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. You can't deceive God. The Apostle John says this in his first epistle, chapter 1 and verse 8. Actually, it's just one. If we say that we have no sin, I've arrived. I've known people like that. There's some theologies that teach that. Generally, the old doctors, the old theologies, they don't even believe what they used to believe. But the Wesleyites and some of those believe that you could attain to sinless perfection. You know, you come to a point in your life that you don't sin anymore. And if you point something out or you say something, they'll explain it away so that it's really not a sin. It's something else. John says, listen, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. You don't deceive anybody else. They look and they see. Say, oh, I don't sin anymore. Yeah, okay. Everybody else knows. Maybe you should. All such deception is ultimately, or at base at least, deception of self. We have to guard against that. And again, Paul says in this the next phrase, God is not mocked. We may be able to deceive ourselves. We may, at least for a time, be able to deceive others with excuses and false appearances and explanations. Well, I've seen all kinds of explanations for doing what you're not supposed to be doing. But we can't deceive God. God is not mocked. And again, in the particular circumstances, Paul applies it here. It has to do with, you know, giving to the Lord's church and the ministry. And we'll look at an example of that. And God took it seriously. And he does take it seriously in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. If God applied that in every circumstance, we'd probably all be dead. But it was early in the Lord's church, in the beginning of those things, and God made an example of them. I will talk about that. God knows our hearts. God knows our worldly circumstances. Oh, we like to tell people that, well, you don't know my heart. Yeah, well, thank God I don't. But God does. And people, you know, the corollary of that, people say, well, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me. Now, I'll scare you to death. But people flip that out there like, well, leave me alone. Only God can judge me. You can't judge me. The Word of God judges you. I can see what the Word of God says. And in the particular instance here Paul's speaking of, you know, failure to support the Lord's church and the ministry is a mocking of God. It's a revelation of what we truly value. It's just, what do you truly value? The Lord said in Luke 12 and verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, it reveals to us, it reveals to others what we truly value. And failing to do that and finding an excuse or making something up, giving an explanation, is mocking God. God is not mocked. And we'll take a little time, look today, and then probably go on to something else next week. Well, not something totally else, but oh yeah, we're going to do Father's Day next week. We'll go on to Joshua probably. Even if I'm ready or not, I'm working on it. Got some things I want to say, and more than I have time to say. We'll see what happens. You know, there was a couple early on in the church, Ananias and Sapphira, and they thought they could get away with sometimes. They could basically mock God. It wasn't just so much that their heart wasn't right or they didn't want to do something. They wanted to deceive others. And they wanted to deceive God. And that, at the root, is rebellion. And it's amazing how some people, they claim to believe in God, but they live like there's not really a God. There's not going to be an accounting. Oh, they'll talk a good show. Probably there will be an accounting. Such deception is hypocrisy. Such deception is denial of God. It's like, if you really believed God, would you be acting like that? In Proverbs, we read Proverbs 15, verse 33. We should take this to heart. And we talk about living in the presence of God. And if we can learn to do that, and it's not just the comfort it brings, but it, you know, how it will affect the way we live. Live in the presence of God. The eyes of the Lord, Proverbs 15:3, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. You know, do you believe that? Don't pretend to be something that you're not, because God knows. Again, you may for a while succeed in fooling others, but God knows. His eyes are in every place. So don't pretend to be what you are not. We read an instance over in Acts, and because of the circumstances of the church at that time, the church in Jerusalem. When I speak to that, I'm not talking about some universal, invisible. It was a church at Jerusalem. And when, at that time, they were suffering. They were all having a hard time. And we read in Acts 4, verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves giving from the heart. And that's what we should strive for. And again, the circumstances here, they had a common pot for a while, but if you go on and read concerning, you know, communism doesn't work. This isn't communism. But it was care for the brethren, for the fellowship. We continue on. The next chapter talks of somebody saw Barnabas and people commented on him, and I don't guess they literally applauded him, but they commented on his generosity and what he had done. In Acts 5, verse 1. And a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. There was nothing wrong in that in and of itself. But as we go on, we'll see they sold a part, they kept a part, and they said they gave it all. That's where the hypocrisy comes in. Beware of being a hypocrite. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? Didn't it belong to you? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Ananias, it was yours. You sold it. The funds were yours. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You see, pretending to be something you're not, pretending to be or being the hypocrite. Say, I gave it all. Well, you didn't. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whither thou sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Don't pretend to be what you're not. If you're not prepared to give it all, and we all got to live, that's not the point. They were keeping in common there because of the dire circumstances that they were in. But regardless, don't pretend to be what you're not. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye have sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. I would guess so. Maybe we'd be better off today if God treated us all that way, but I don't know if any of us would still be here. But again, early on, God was like making an example and teaching here. You say, well, that's not fair. Everything God does is fair. You want fair from God? People argue that with, you know, Jacob and Esau and everything. No. God can do as he wishes. I don't want to hear that stuff. Their sin was the deception of the church and of God. It was theirs to give or not to give. They didn't have to sell anything. And once they did, they didn't have to give it all and lay it all at the apostles' feet. But they wanted to be viewed as spiritual, as You know, in the same category as Barnabas, the son of consolation. Hypocrisy is a great sin, and it's railed upon throughout Scripture. And look at the Lord's earthly ministry. He rails upon the hypocrites, the false religionists, the pretenders. God, keep us from being that. We're all sinful and may tend to something. God, keep us from being that. Be not deceived, Paul says. God is not mocked. He knows what's going on. And then this broader principle that he makes that, I don't know, I won't finish this today. We'll look at it a little bit more next week. And, well, maybe I can finish it. We'll see. It's all related, the next several verses anyway. But Paul says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You reap what you sow. So how come this is happening to me? Because that's what you sow, probably. God has purposes for doing everything. We can't sit outside and judge everybody like Job's friends tried to do to him. God had other things going on. But really, you reap what you sow. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you want corn? You got to plant corn. Do you want beans? You got to plant beans. You want thorns? Well, you can get them to come up easy. If you plant them, they'll come up. What a man sows, that shall he reap. And if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And if you sow liberally, you reap liberally. And if you sow nothing at all, you don't get anything. What a man sows, he reaps. Brother Gill said this, and again, the broader applications of it. Brother Gill said, this is a proverbial expression and may be applied to all actions, good and bad, and the reward and punishment of them, particularly to acts of beneficence and the enjoying of the fruits thereof. What a man sows, he reaps. Don't be surprised at that. You reap what you... And you know what? Another principle, maybe I'll get into it in more detail. You reap what you sow, and you always reap more. Good or bad, you reap what you sow. But if I plant a kernel of corn, I get a stalk in 4 or 5 years. I just won. You know, you reap what you sow, and you reap more than you sow. Good and bad. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It's not rocket surgery, as they say. You know, these people understood farming. Some of us still do today. I watch my wife. But anyway, you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Verse 7 says, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That's again, people say, well, for all this stuff you teach, does that mean I have to tithe? No, you don't. But ask yourself, ask, should I? Is that the example God gave us? Paul says, let a man as he purposeth in his heart. Don't be a hypocrite. I'll make it fine without the hypocrites, I think. And if I don't, Lord, take me home. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, So let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Basically, and we can make more application there, but God will let you do what you're supposed to do. So I'm in a circumstance I can't do what God told me to do. Yeah, I kind of think you can. You know? God is able to make all grace abound to you, toward you. God didn't say you got to give $10,000. I couldn't do that. But you give of the tithe proportionally as God has prospered him, as we read Paul wrote, that ye always have all sufficiency and all things may abound in every good work. And then on the negative side, well, kind of ended up on a negative note here at the end of this verse, but anyway, it's a principle that applies to the good and the bad. And Job said this in Job 4 and verse 8, and he'd seen some things, he'd observed some things. Paul says, even as I have seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Yeah. Say, why do the wicked prosper? Well, just watch a little while. Just watch a little while. Even as I have seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And then Hosea, the prophet, tells us in Hosea 8:7, familiar verse, and so true. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. They sow the wind. Or we, you know, in our vernacular, you sow your wild oats. You're going to reap wild oats. Sometimes God's gracious. He doesn't give us all that bounty that we've sown. But you sow the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwinds. You sow the wind, you're going to get a tornado. You're going to get the hurricane. That's what God has designed. That's the way things work. And God's behind it all. Anyway, we should learn and apply these things. God can't be mocked. And we reap what we sow. And may the Lord impress that upon us this week. We'll take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing closing hymn number 25, I Will Not Forget Thee, number 25.
In my hands I'll hold thee, in my my arms I'll fold thee up. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am the Redeemer. I will care for thee. And at the golden portals I am standing. All my tribulations, all my sorrows past. How sweet you hear the blessed proclamation, enter faithful servants, welcome home at last. I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer. I will care for thee.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the privilege to gather to open your word. Father, help us to live in the light of the truths of your word, to realize we reap what we sow. And Lord, by your grace, may we sow those things that honor thee, that bring forth eternal fruits. Father, we know we're not capable of any of this on our own. Father, we pray that you might undertake. Father, thank you for the truths of your word. Help us again to live in the light of them every day. As we go about our lives, Lord, to realize as well that you can't be deceived. Oh, we might deceive ourselves. We might deceive others, but you'll not be deceived. There'll be an accounting. And Lord, may we live in the light of that. May we live lives that show that we believe that. Father, we pray your hand specially upon our friends, the Tenseis, as they travel overseas, that you keep them safe, that you give them a blessed time together, that you return them safely home. Pray for all those that need healing, for all those that need comfort. Father, we thank you for the miraculous way that you've undertaken in several of the lives of people we know. And we praise you for it. And we know, Lord, indeed, that was you. We thank you for your eternal love, for our Savior, for what was accomplished on our behalf. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.